And welcome back to another episode of Loss of Down, the newest member of the Bruiser Nation Podcast Network, a division of Snapmere Productions. We got a full house. Wally and David are back. Who gives a shit about that? Because it's Eclipse Day, boys. That's all we're really here to talk about.
It is. And I think all three of us got to actually be in the totality zone today, if I'm not mistaken, right? Did we all see it?
We saw it, but I wasn't in totality, unfortunately. Like, barely.
So it didn't get, like, pitch black or anything?
No, it got dark. We saw a couple stars, but it wasn't, like, midnight black, essentially, which sucks.
Sure. I know, David, you're up in the Cleveland-Akron area, so I know that you were locked in the middle of it. I think like Steven, where I was right on the edge, so I had to, like, actually go, like, 45 minutes north to see it.
Nah, man, I got totality at work today. I literally walked outside for, like, 3 minutes, got my glasses on, stared up into the sky, got a great
view. You're like, well, that's enough of this.
To fucking work.
You should. That's actually what I said.
Let's wrap it up. Where I went up to a place called Meadsville, up in Northwest Ohio, a little south of Erie. And there were more cars. Like, people talked about traffic. I didn't know what they meant. It was like bumper to bumper traffic for like 45 minutes going north. It took a lot longer getting there. On the way back, I'm sitting there like a grandfather, you know, when they would visit you when you were a kid and they're already planning going home the minute they get there. Like, they're pulling in, and it's, wait a minute, I got to get out of here. That was basically me. So, like, as it was happening, I'm having a blast. The second it starts getting light again, I'm like, get in the car. We got to get out of here. We're not doing this again. We're getting on the highway.
Dude, I think I saw a statistic that the National Park was preparing for something like 250,000 tourists or something to show up in Northeast Ohio just to see the eclipse. Like an absurd amount of people showing up all over Northeast Ohio just to see the eclipse.
I saw that they were having a tailgate in the Muni lot up in Cleveland.
So Cleveland.
By the Muni. Legendary.
That's electric. It's like, yeah, I got to take this Monday off for the eclipse. We're hitting the Muni. Maybe, I don't know, we might go to the Jack after if it's a good eclipse.
I just imagine you get that, like, 400-pound Browns guy with the double zeros, like, dog pound people there with the Browns vehicles, hammered at 8 a.m. because of an eclipse at 1. That's what or 3 o'clock, whatever it was. But that's Cleveland to a T, baby. You got to love that.
Dude, I love it.
There was something else, guys. Oh, Steven, we have to hear from you because you weren't here last week. You got to at least tell us a little bit. Your bachelor party, I only got to be there for not even, it was like 18 hours. It was like such a brief time that I was there, but it was unbelievable. Those guys that you're friends with, a lot of them longtime listeners, so much fun. What did your experience had to be great, right?
It's March Madness. We were taking squad rides only. Saturday was the best. I will say a lot of us backed off the whole Illinois talk that you were chirping about that day, which I think that
was a joke.
Yeah, that was
a joke, guys.
But no, it was an absolute blast. Shout out to my boy Dylan Watts orchestrating the circus here and getting all the boys here together. But it was exactly what I wanted. It was a conglomerate of 25 dudes in one house drinking and gambling and playing golf and hanging by the beach and just doing stupid guy shit. It was phenomenal.
Literally ready to run through a wall again right now just hearing it.
I mean, you walked in, you saw the zoo, and everyone was, especially Saturday morning, it led with EPL. You had to leave after the electric bet that you hit, and we kept it going.
Newcastle, baby! 3-1! Come back in the last 20 minutes! No big deal!
The
regulation
house,
winner!
The house was humming after that. Everyone was kind of struggling a little bit, like we get into Saturday. All of a sudden, that bet hits. We're humming. They had EPL the rest of the day. Led you right into the NCAA tournament. God. I just, the whole weekend, I was like, I was doing this last weekend, and I wish I was doing that. Except for yesterday, where I was like, I was traveling back, and I was miserable. I was hanging out with Garrett, who was just wasted the whole entire time and didn't sleep. And now I get to sit next to him on the flight and listen to him ramble.
It's funny you bring up Garrett, because that's kind of where I was going to. Is there's something special about bachelor parties at our age now, because it's like one of the few days a year where you can kind of muster up that inner 18-year-old self again. where I was being talked to by Garrett about the Reds until 5:15 in the morning. The sun's literally about to come up. And then 2 hours later, we have the soccer game and I have to just rally before driving home 9-10 hours. And that's something that you can do like once or twice a year. Steven, I was down for the count until like Wednesday this week. I was not the same person.
You know what? I actually didn't feel that bad. I got like 14 hours, 13 hours of sleep that Sunday going into Monday. Got another like 10 to 12 going into Tuesday. I felt pretty solid. Now it's just like the nostalgia kicks in. Like I'm like that conglomerate of those friends in one house doesn't happen too often. It's just nostalgia for the rest of my life now.
Well, yeah, now you're 2 weeks away from wedding too. So we're going to talk about that a lot more over the next couple weeks. Got a hamburger bun, this term David used last week. I love it, so I'm bringing it back today. And then we'll get into football. But we talked nerd stuff at the start with the Sun. I got to bring up nerds because we are part of a Bruiser Nation podcast. So
a division of Snapmere Productions.
Wrestling people, a division of Snapmere Productions. WrestleMania people, Undertaker and John Cena came back. Did anybody watch last night? Does anybody care? Is it just nerd up, hand up, Wally's the loser here?
I didn't watch, but it was electric watching the video of the Undertaker just being behind the Rock. That I would be like, I would be so jacked if I was like a huge fan. I could see why people were just so excited for last night.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't even a big fan this last like decade. It was like we grew up with the Attitude Era. I watched Ruthless Aggression, so I love John Cena. I love the Undertaker. My brother and I watched for 7 hours over the 2 days. And Stone Cold, we were hoping was coming back, and when he didn't, I thought it was gonna break my brother. But Undertaker being my favorite, I was having the time of my life. I just had to throw in that little nerd WrestleMania thing while I'm there. Doesn't happen often I get to drop one of those in. So when you have the chance, had to bring in the dead man.
Well, we had a trade that came from the top ropes.
I like that.
When Stefon Diggs traded from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans for a second round pick, and then they had some pick swaps in there, I want to say, or they sent a couple fifths. Doesn't matter. Stefon Diggs is a Houston Texan. This team is taking advantage of CJ Stroud's rookie contract. But how surprised were you guys by this move?
It's you, baby. You started off, David. I've been talking all episodes so far.
I know, I need to let somebody else go.
This dude was a good game time decision.
I mean, I'll go.
No.
Yeah, I should mention that. My voice is shredded right now. My throat is literally rubbed raw. What's it called? The uvula? Yeah. Whatever it is, it's literally touching. Hey, like I can touch it with my tongue.
No,
it's
ditty.
So swollen.
No ditty.
No ditty, but no gag reflex either. Call me up later.
If you make me start, I'm gonna end up stealing two lines from what you have in your notes because that was what I was gonna say anyways.
That's fine. You know what? I'll get us going. I've got the talking bug going. I'll get us going here. So I just have to ask the simple question: how much of a locker room cancer is Stefon Diggs? That he forced himself out of Minnesota, sends, by the way, Minnesota, they're sending like thank you cards. They're sending those damn assortment, edible arrangement, stuff like that. They're sending them all
out cookies.
There right now because crumble cookies, anything you can send, chocolate covered strawberries, they're sending it out that way to thank you for Justin Jefferson in that trade. Meanwhile, the Bills, you get all this. You're going to eat all of this money. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the leagues. The city adores Stefon Diggs. The city adores Josh Allen. There's nothing that could go wrong as long as you're not a diva. And he's such a diva that the Bills are willing to not get a draft pick back this year, eat the money that he is or is responsible for. They have no wide receivers on this team. What are we doing here? I think great job for the Texans. I'll leave that for you guys to talk about.
Buddy.
But for the Bills, this is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare for the Bills unless he was that much of a cancer, which I'm assuming he was, right? But I think the most amazing part of this deal is that the Texans took him and then restructured his contract to say, after this year, you know, go into free agency, do whatever you want, which means that, you know, they're paying him an absurd amount of money this year to basically saddle the Bills with a bunch of debt that they don't have to deal with, and then tell Diggs, hey, if you're worth another contract, go out and prove it to us. And if you don't want to be here in the end, you know, sayonara, you're fine.
But you know that he will want to come back too. If he has a good year and has CJ Stroud, it's brilliant. He's
gonna,
to your point.
You know he's going to go to Kansas City because he wanted to go to Kansas City. Everyone in the league, including the Buffalo Bills, are going to veto that. So you know he's going to get paid this 1 year, maybe get one more contract to go get that ring in Kansas City. But this has all been boiling over since the playoff loss in 2023. Like, we saw the drama, we saw this or heard the stupid stories that came out. Then apparently just in week one of the season opening loss to the New York Jets, Josh Allen and Steph Diggs apparently had a little spat in the locker room that boiled over the entirety of the season. It didn't stop him from balling out the first, eight games. But then we saw what happened towards the tail end of the season. So I feel like the writing was on the wall, especially I remember going back when David's talking about the cap hit that Josh Allen is going to be. We knew this was going to happen, but then you couple that with the loss of Gabe Davis, not really any urgency to keep him in-house. Now all of a sudden, Curtis Samuel's your number one. Your highest paid pass catcher is Dawson Knox, and then Dalton Kincaid, Khalil Shakir. Then it's bad. And apparently there's some rumors that Buffalo is going to be trying to move up in the draft to get a premier wide receiver. Maybe Neighbors, that's where he ends up going. I don't know. But they have such an uphill battle in a division where they don't want to have
Mac Hollins,
that.
Too. Jeez. Sorry, I was just Hollins, looking at these wide receivers that you brought up. It's like they have just like seven wide receiver threes on their team.
Like, I'd be okay if they let him go, and then they keep Gabe Davis. Like, we see that happen time and time again where teams are ready to move on from your number one receiver because they think the next guy is ready. What are they doing?
It comes off to me when it first happened, I had the belief that they had a deal lined up or something they felt really good about. But now you look at the fact that they have no money. So yeah, you can do the restructure game and all kick the can down the road and all that. That doesn't feel like the Pegula's game, the owners up there in Buffalo. I wouldn't be shocked if they just go in, draft two or three wide receivers, and just pray to God Josh Allen can raise the level of everybody around him. And I know he's elite. He's very, very good at the very least. He should be able to do that, but you're asking him to do what Patrick Mahomes did last year in Kansas City, possibly to an even tougher degree.
Way tougher degree. How much money are you going to sprinkle or throw on the Texans to win the Super Bowl? Because I'm intrigued.
I am too. But doesn't it feel like everybody and their mother is on the Texans right now?
I still don't think they're going to be. They're probably going to be a plus 2,000 team. And what is.
Really? You think they're that low?
I don't think that's low.
I would go with plus like 850 or 800.
1250 is my guess. 850, 1250.
That's fine. But if you throw $50 at that at the beginning of the season, are you really going to be hurting?
So I guess that's a fair point. I love future bets. Like get
I like them when
future
they hit.
Bets are a disease. No, because I just treat it like I'm paying taxes, and I just give my money at the start of a year, and I just never expect to see it again. And if I do get it back, it's like the best tax return of all time.
So right when, getting your tax returns, just throw it right into a futures parlay?
Yeah, just like, all right, that works. Like, what's the worst that thing's going to happen right now? I don't know.
I'm very curious now. What?
I know, I'm pulling it up as we speak.
I'm pulling up on DraftKings right now.
Well, now it's a race. I'm not going to win.
No, I can't even find NFL on here.
I have team specials, but I don't have... I have win totals. Super Bowl! Look who's got it! 1,500. So, okay. If we're going prices
Dude,
right,
I
well,
like
it's
that.
Not a big deal. I win, but...
No big deal. I win.
But, all right, 1,500, if you're going to throw $50 on there, I mean, you're turning around and you're talking about winning 750, so.
I mean.
Call that a W.
I think that's a good investment.
So, here's the thing, though. That's like, who's ahead of them? The Chiefs, the Niners, Ravens, Lions?
You're going to laugh at me because I exited out already, but we're back. I got it up again. That's why you save it in your tabs here. So, we have, before them, they have the tied for 7th best odds.
Oh, buddy, I have them at DraftKings has them as plus 1,600. They have the Bengals at plus 1,300. They have the Bills at plus 1,200 still.
Jeez.
Plus 13 on FanDuel.
That's... Yeah. No.
Wish I could take some alternative odds.
Yeah, what are we missing there?
I wish I could take the alternative odds. The Lions at plus 12. Baltimore at +9, Niners at +6, and Chiefs at +550.
Okay. Yeah, we're pretty close anyways. Yeah, so I have it tied for 7th, but...
Quick bet, $1 on +25,000 for the Panthers. I mean, what do you have to lose?
The Thurs, baby. The that second
keep
year.
Pounding.
Keep pounding. Exactly. Let's talk about the Panthers sprinkling a little bit of money because they finally decided to, you know what? Here's a wild idea. Instead of trading the best players, why don't we sign one? Re-sign one of them. And that's exactly what they did with Derrick Brown to a 4-year, $96 million extension to stay there in Charlotte.
It felt really important to get this deal done. You were kind of hinting at it the way you set that up, Steven, but they've had to overpay to even get functional talent through the doors this past few months in free agency and even before going into last year, bringing in talent. Derrick Brown is not functional talent. He's one of the premier defenders in the entire NFL. They brought in 3 new faces this year, too, for Brown and company on the defensive line. But even after all that, they still have such problems on that front. I think you got to expect them to go pretty heavy defensive line the draft. I'm not even going to lie to you. At this point, I know they don't have a first. I don't know what their picks are off the top of my head for day 2 and day 3, but that's not a good spot. When you're the worst team in the NFL and you're going to have to watch somebody pick Caleb Williams with your number 1 overall pick, talk about a soul-crushing month. Dylan Watts, we're praying for you, buddy.
It's so hard to break down to like non-trench people or non like people that have played the O-line, D-line, or like appreciate it. But this dude had 103 combo tackles last year. That is insanity for being a defensive tackle. He had 57 solo tackles. I dare you, and I know it sounds blasphemous. I dare you to find Aaron Donald that had that number. Aaron Donald never eclipsed that number. I checked. And if he did, it might have been once. The Chris Joneses of the world aren't eclipsing this number. Now, they get paid because of the sacks that they get way more of. But he is in this tier of the sexy dexies of this Quinnen Williams. That he is right on par with everything, eclipsing him in the tackles. He's right in the ballpark with QB pressures. He's just not in the ballpark with sacks, which that's the number everyone looks at. But this dude is right on par with everybody else, and really no one's talking about it. Great steal. Going to be such a great contract next year, because if they're expecting him to take that leap like he did this past year, he's going to be asking for another contract within the next 2 off seasons.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal contract for them long term if he continues to improve, or even if he stays at the same level he's been on. I think he's 4th highest paid interior defensive lineman right now, which is – nothing if we're going to look 2 years in the future. Like, that market has been blowing up, right? But while you brought up draft picks, they have pick 33 and pick 39 and then pick 65.
Okay.
So
that's 3 quality
those are
draft
yeah
picks.
Those are, they need to hit on all 3 though. Like, if we're being honest,
agreed,
we need at minimum 2 quality starters out of those picks. So I hope that their draft board is well researched and they know what the hell they're doing, because they have to nail those picks.
The last thing I'll say, in kind of bridging what you guys both said, because he's a bargain right now. 4th highest paid, that feels kind of low. And then, I mean, when we're talking about all these picks that we have to throw out there, but it's so beneficial to start a rebuild with an anchor piece like Derrick Brown right here, because he is kind of more of like the Quinnen Williams type of defensive tackle versus your Aaron Donald or your Chris Jones, where, Steven, I think it was you that said it, but yeah, maybe he's not the pass rusher that we are kind of used to with those two guys, but he is elite in that interior for against the run. And when you're starting a team that doesn't feel like they have any kind of talent on that side of the ball, having a guy that can almost single-handedly end drives in the run defense, that's massive, at least to start building a team.
I mean, I seriously can't get over the 103 combos and the 57 solos. Like, those are numbers that defensive tackles do not put up. And that's against – and he probably saw the ball a lot, because this is a middle-of-the-pack, like, rush defense Carolina's put on the field over the 4 years that he's been on this team. Dude just turned 26, or he's turning 26 next week. Like, that is so scary. Before we get into the rapid fire, we want to remind you that this rapid fire section is brought to you by Abby Turner Creative, your one-stop shop marketing agency specializing in branding, high-end photography, fashion, and more. Especially if you're our age, where it feels like there's a college graduation, baby pictures, bachelor parties, weddings, you name it. They're happening every weekend. Abby Turner Creative is the only way to go. Check her out for yourself at abbyturnerphoto.com. That's Abby, A-B-B-E-Y. Or at her Instagram at sawdadandsapphire. Again, abbyturnerphoto.com. To start it off, Jordan Malata. I feel like I always pronounce his last name. Malata. You're muted, but.
Oh, I've been trying to. I've been like sitting here. I'm like, maybe I'm going nuts. But yeah, it's Jordan Mailata. It was very, you're right,
Jordan
there.
Jordan Mailata. Yeah, boom. Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, we call it a win, baby.
Signs a 3-year, $66 million extension to stay as a Philadelphia Eagle.
I'm all about it. We love trench players here, and so does Philly. And I feel like this is the best thing that could come out of a Jason Kelce retirement offseason.
I was just actually going to bring up Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson because those are the guys that get to pop when you hear offensive line. WrestleMania, great point. Those are the guys that have the sex appeal where sometimes we don't see offensive linemen get that sex appeal, but for whatever reason, Kelce and Lane Johnson have. The car doesn't go without Jordan Mailata. And a guy last year, for tackle purposes, we love to bring up PFF when it fits our narrative, so here we go again. Guy was fifth in run blocking and sixth in pass pro last year for tackles, both sides of the ball. This is a steal of a contract any way you look at it. And the new thing to say when you're talking contracts, the cap keeps going up. This will be great in a few years. It's great right now. The home run get for the Eagles here.
Well, this is right after they just signed Landon Dickerson to a nice extension too. So right when you think Philly's going to be aging, decrepit in the O-line, they signed two of their guys long-term. Jordan Mailata, another guy who just turned 27, actually, I want to say back in March. So a lot of these youngsters getting paid. Another youngster up in Foxborough, Kyle Duggar, signs an extension with the Patriots. So the Pats get to avoid what? Or so he gets to avoid playing on the transition tag. That extension comes at a 4-year, $58 million clip with the opportunity to get up to 66 based off incentives, which I need to add to my little Excel sheet for gambling purposes. 32.5 million guaranteed.
Yeah. He's kind of a Jamal Adams type where that's not something that I guess you look for all the time now, but a really strong box safety, run defender, physical. And Dave and I were talking a little bit before we got started, but he reminds me a lot of the Buckeyes use this position called the bullet position, where you're almost a hybrid between a safety and a linebacker. It allows you to be a little more versatile in nickel early in downs. I almost said the Eagles. The Patriots have two of these guys in Kyle Duggar and in Jabril Peppers. This is kind of a fun way for Jerod Mailo to start a team that he really wants to be physical and change the nature up there. I love the deal.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. They've got two good box safeties, and if you play a lot of nickel, you can make it work. You add another DB in there who plays more of a free safety role. You know, you got guys like that. You're better at covering the Travis Kelce's and Mark Andrews of the world. It'll be interesting. I mean, that's for sure. I'm not going to buy into the hype of the Patriots like I did last offseason, but I think they could have another interesting defense year over year.
I just don't know what to think of the move. I know that the personnel change in head coach has really positively impacted the locker room, but I don't know how to gauge talent from New England secondary. Your Malcolm Butler's, Stephon Gilmore's, JC Jackson's, all awesome, but when they leave New England, they just fizzle out and they're just not the same player. So I'm not dogging any of his talent. He obviously is the best at what they do in that building, so you can't knock that. It's a good contract standpoint. I still know how talented safeties are. That one's so hard for me.
One thing that makes it easier to go all in on a couple safeties, or at least pay a little bit of money for them, is when you have a young cornerback like Christian Gonzalez. And if he ends up being a guy that eliminates half the field, you can have two box safeties. You can be a little bit more aggressive in the run. It's everything's easy when you have elite players, right? I know how listen to that groundbreaking thing. Elite players make it better for your team. Your team is better when you have elite players. Put that on a wall.
Yeah, sound the sirens on that one. But with that, I'll bring us to an end of a very short episode of Loss of Down. Make sure to comment, like, and subscribe to our Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Loss of Down. And retweet us on Twitter/X_down_loss. Remember, this episode is brought to you by the Bruiser Nation Podcast Network, a division of Snapmare Productions, as well as Abby Turner Creative. Boys, number 2 Hundy under the belt.
Isn't that crazy? I know that.
I feel like it took a while to get to 100.
David, we welcomed you on. I was going to say, we welcomed David on somewhere around like 70 or 80.
I think it was earlier than that. I think it was like 66 or something.
It might have been. And it's crazy that even just the three of us have been together for 100 plus now. We're at 200. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. Hopefully we have 200 more. That's all I got to say.
That'd be the goal.
Oh, you know what else I got to say? I'm sorry, Steven. I cut you off. Oh, no, this is just housekeeping. Last week, if you want to get your team picks for our mock fantasy draft, get your text in to Steven, David, or I this week. We have a couple teams that already have multiple people. We're going to be doing a name out of the hat for those. We'll keep it fair. I'll keep it videotaped so you guys can be all like, oh, Paul, he isn't cheating. Oh, just so get your names in if you want. You know, so you look at this guy. He's so nice. So if you want to pick, send your text. Otherwise, I can't help you.
And go Pirates.
Go Bucks, baby.
David, kiss me. Kiss me. I mean, by the way, 8-2. 8-2. They're up 5-2 over here. I'm jazzed up. I feel like shit. Do you think I care? No, because you're about to be 9-2, baby.
Dude, hold up.
Rays.
They're 11 games into this. Dude, baseball people are a different breed.
Buddy.
Go Pirates. They're not going to lose the rest of the year.
Are the Penguins making the playoffs, too? Don't they have the tiebreaker over like 5 teams right that are above them?
David, look at you, making me so happy right now. This team, we're talking about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, excuse me. They were 9 points out of the playoffs, behind like 6 teams. They were dead in the water. It was like a 0.05%. It was a garbage number, fake number. You weren't going to get in. Sidney Crosby then decided, hey, I'm going to remind you all why I'm the best hockey player in the world, the best that there has been, the best that ever was. And now they are tied to go in. They're up to 40% to make the playoffs.
Don't they have the tiebreakers of everyone above them right now, though?
Still have 5 games, and there's like 6 teams within a point. So, like, you have to. Someone's going to get hot here, but the last 3 weeks, they're trying to lose. Everybody's losing, and the Penguins are on like a 6-game heater.
Let's see it, boys.
Come on!
Kylie was at the shootout game last week when I was out in the. I guess CBJ. Didn't they lose one against CBJ last week or 2 weeks ago?
That was probably the last loss they've had, actually.
Kylie may have broken the curse for you. You're welcome.
Yeah, I was going to say, she might have to start coming to Penguins games. She got to be careful.
Well, good.
At least send her to Sabres games. They're one of the teams we're trying to get rid of.
Ooh, Dad's a big Buffalo guy. Can't.
Dude, the goat head, by the way. The black and red goat head Buffalo legendary. Sabre.
Ryan Miller. Bring it back. Comes to my mind.
See, I think of Hasek. I always go Dominic Hasek right away. Or you could just trigger some Buffalo fans and say, I always think about what Hall in the foot in the goal crease, win game 6, not a big deal. But love you guys. RIP. Sorry, Buffalo. I didn't mean it. Tough week for Buffalo.